4 DJC. Good afternoon, Jerry. It's in Gerald TR. Any difference between yesterday and today? It looks nasty out there today.
Well, excuse me, Jerry. I just went out and got the mail and come back. Just sitting here drinking a cup of coffee and a little thing of, what do you call that, Maurice? Pineapple banana bars. And watching a little gun smoke, but I turned it off because I was trying to concentrate while I was reading here. It was very cool when it went out to the mailbox, I guess because of all the moisture in the air, and it's supposed to rain later.
Went out about 11 and just jumped in and out of the car for a minute or two. It wasn't too bad then, but Lynn just left a little bit ago, and she said she sent me a text message from Walmart. She said it was colder in the store than it is outside.
Always is. I never fail to wear a jacket when we go into Aldi's.
Busy. I guess they're trying to save on, how we're trying to save on what? It's about as cheap to, I guess they just let it, you know, it's almost like the, whatever the weather is outside, they just let it to the inside. They're taking up all the tiles on the floor, and they're just going to have a, it looks like a real high polish, like an epoxy type finish just over the concrete in this one next to Sam's over here, which is, I'm not sure why they did it, where they just couldn't keep the other one clean, or I'm sure it's some cost-saving measure. They don't do anything unless it saves them money.
In everything, Jerry.
Oh, shoot.
Well, our grass looks nice and green anyways, and we got the pre-emergent down and fertilizer down again here a couple of days ago. So it kind of beat me up for a couple of days, but I'm feeling better today. But, oh, I haven't even been down and tried to do anything yet, nor have I been out to visit the girls out back. I fed and watered them yesterday, so they're fine today. And my neighbor, he's building a new chicken house. Looks pretty nice, but he kind of likens this story about the guy building an airplane in his house and didn't know how to get it out once he built it, or in his garage. Well, they built this chicken house right in front of his garage door, and now they can't lift it.
Sounds very familiar. I've seen that done a time or two. Reminds me of the thing, the Andy Griffith Show, where Gilmer takes the car apart, puts it in the sheriff's office to work on it because he can't leave the sheriff's office. And when he gets it fixed up, he's got to disassemble it to take it back out again.
Remember that one? It was something like a 54 or 56 Ford or something, if I remember rightly.
It was, I can't remember which one of them it was. It was one of the two on there, but it's hysterical. They might have been. It might be Gomer or Goober, one of that. I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was Goober. But when you said that, that first thing that came to mind, I said, never forget that. Lynn's dad, when he was restoring cars, he had a full basement downstairs, and he'd take the engine apart and put them downstairs. He'd cover up the pool table with a piece of sat on the plywood at this, he could polish those aluminum, all that aluminum valve covers, all that stuff is on his Jaguars, and I used to go down there and see stuff scattered everywhere down there. I said, Jimmy, y'all just build your garage in the back right there so you don't have to haul that stuff downstairs and that. And he finally did, but by that time he quit working on them. He got, you know, a little bit older and wasn't interested in restoring them anymore. But, I've seen that stuff done before. It's kind of like, I know you've seen it. Hang on a second. Been out in rural Kansas where, you know, you got a house out there and there's one good tree in the yard that's got a chain fall sitting on it to take the engine and transmission to stuff in and out of cars.
GR. Well, when I was really little, I remember exactly that out in our front yard. And Dad Dad and them had a 50 Ford out there, and they were pulling the engine out of it. I was really too young to even know what they were doing, but that was my favorite tree to climb in.
Cousin had an old, I think it was an old Ford truck he had. It must have been back in the 50s, I guess. Maybe it was the 50s, 53 or something like that. We were still in high school, and it was like kind of a deal that you just do. You got out there under the tree out there, had the chain pole out there, and pulled the engine out of it, and I remember hearing Keith KM4CH talking about taking the transmission out of one and replacing the clutch and, you know, getting the throw out bearing and putting something in backwards and it wouldn't work. And I thought the same thing. I said, we were out there tearing the engine down. We didn't have any idea what we were doing, I don't think.
Yeah, I just never had much of a mechanical ability when it comes to stuff like that, and I still hate taking things apart. So anymore, I use my cell phone and take pictures of it before I take it apart. I know that wheel plant I worked at for 4 years before they shut it down, they were extremely restrictive. They'd fire you if they caught you with a cell phone out in the shop, and unless you were a supervisory. And so if I had something of that nature that needed a picture of it, I'd just go get the boss and tell him to take a picture of it so I can see how it goes back if I happen to forget. And he always did. But I didn't use that option very often. But, boy, it's handy. You can really take pictures of things and get down there, and if you forget something, you can go back. And I'll tell you what, my memory isn't getting any better, Jerry.
Get there for CPD.
Go ahead, Wyatt. Make one.
Figure out where that last screw goes. Even when I take the pictures, I always have a screw left over.
Operating procedures. Go ahead, Jerry.
The way it used to be, at least I remember it. Yeah, if you had something left over, that means you didn't need it to begin with.
In y'all's conversation, I'm like, Yeah, I always have a screw or a nut left over. Anyway, y'all carry on. I'm just putzing down the road.
Oh, we're glad to have you. And Wyatt, knowing you for years now, I know you always did have a screw loose. Shoot, that's one, Wyatt. Go ahead, Jerry.
This replaced my neck and put four titanium screws and a plate in. I used to have to, before they started all the stuff with, this was after 9/11, and they started screening people. I carried a little card around with it, showed a picture of my appliance, and my doctor told me, he said, they might have thought you had a screw loop. And he said, you can tell them that. He said, here's your proof. All four screws are tight.
Well, Runoff, what you doing today?
Got a transmitter go down a couple of weeks ago from a current surge, blew out the power supply. We sent it off to somebody else to repair the power supply because, well, me, I prefer off-the-shelf power supplies, just go grab another one. But not an option here, and went and installed it today, and hey, guess what? The transmitter does not actually work, so there's still problems with it. But they weren't qualified to do the transmit side, so now I get to go through the transmit side and figure out what the heck is going on.
That's a rough one, I'll tell you. Well, you know, about a year ago, I was working on a power supply, and in the main on-off switch, it had a MOV in it in series with the L1 side of the main transformer, and I don't see how in the world that could ever work because they're very high resistance and they're avalanche, you know, an MOV, and they break down. Did you ever see anything like that?
No. Frankly, I can't say that I have seen that. And this is one of those old radios. it has all the normal voltages, and we also have a minus 80 volt DC line. And I have no schematics for the thing, which is the other reason we sent it off to somebody who actually works on power supplies on a regular basis. I mean, you know, a lot of the power supply you can work through, but once you start going from, you know, through hole mount to surface mount, I mean, it was in that stage of its development when it was created, and no schematics and no markings on the board whatsoever. I mean, I don't know where T1 and T4 is. It's just no markings whatsoever. And so I don't really know where the problem is yet. Got to look at it. And picked up a spare radio from a friend, because they don't have the transmitter, and they really need the transmitter. But I have to check the spare out, because it's from the 1980s, and I don't know if it transmits or not.
Little ghost problem. Well, I've never had anything with a minus 80 on it. That's rather unusual, but I haven't worked in air traffic control units either. Go ahead, Jerry.
That eyeball stuff's hard to... Hard, a lot of stuff is just made up, and I know when my fellow was working at Bell Labs, he said they configured a bunch of stuff up. He said, but you have to everything. There was no guesswork involved in it, but some of the stuff that I've seen, and it's been years ago, I guess, especially I think the older Swans had some really odd voltages with them, and I don't remember. I think they had some of those radios had. I don't remember if they had a built-in power supply. Now, I want to say it was built-in, but I'm not 100% sure or not. But they had some odd voltages in those. I know a friend of mine had a 6 meter and a HS1 rig, and the 6 meter rig was pretty old. This from back in the 70s, I guess, and it had some. I mean, it just. You could tell it was all hand-wired, not like they do now. And I know, Tom, you've seen that video, I'm sure, of Kenwood with them building the 850s or 950s or whatever, where they, you know, do a lot of stuff. It was all robotically done now. But all that swine stuff, like the Drake stuff, it was all hand-wired, and they did it. You know, most of the time they had ladies wiring it and doing the soldering, too, sometimes, I think.
Question. Hey, Wyatt, KG4LSL. Wyatt, I was going to, I'd like to ask you if you work on 10-meter radios, because I have one here that's kind of an antique, and I'd really love to get it back up on the air.
Not on tube radios at all anymore, and really, I'm here lately, I've just been totally tied up with the aviation transmitters having issues. So, sorry. You can try Dave Watson. I know he likes working on stuff.
It's an old President HR2510, and I got a hold of it when I first became a ham, and something has happened to it. I'm not sure what. I know it powers up, so. Other than that, it's beyond my scope of capabilities.
Who makes the radio? I have no schematics for that.
Schematics for it?
I do not have the schematics. Uniden, you should be able to get them. You may have to Google excessively, or maybe go to one of, what's the name of that place? That's like a radio reference or radio forum. I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
Thanks. Would you be willing to look at it?
I don't know what my workload is at the time.
Wondering for it. It's been sitting here. Well, it's been sitting in a box and are in my possession for the past 20 years. Hasn't been worked in 10 years, so I'm not in a great big hurry.
I'll say sure for now, but with the knowledge that I have two transmitters that, well, a spare transmitter and an actual transmitter that are high priority, and another transmitter that I'm actually waiting on the factory to fix.
I will Google and find some schematics for it. I mean, this thing could be as simple as a microphone all the way down to, I know that they had the glue problem on the board. It could be that, or it could be a cold solder joint, or there could be nothing really wrong with it. I'm just not 100% sure. KG4LSL.
Okay, you'll have to remind me your name, and have you tried a hammer?
Then tried what? No, I'm not big into smacking radios.
Sense of humor.
It's not a computer. Those I'll use for target practice.
I pass that back to Tom if he's still around, and you know, on my issues, I'm going to guess and say that the minus 80 is probably PA related.
I got a phone call, guys. I'll be back in a little while in 0TR.
Hear from you today. You guys carry on. I'm just listening. N4DJC.
Hey, buddy, so I'll give it back to you, Jimmy.
And I'm sitting here hard on Google. But no, that old radio, I love the radio because I used it as a tech on 10 meters and would constantly work 10 meters. And that's when the sunset, or the sun, I keep wanting to call it a sunset cycle, the sunspot cycle was up. And I think the radio put out 10, 15 watts. And, you know, I was carrying on a conversation with a fellow ham out in Colorado while I was going down I-20 east towards like Columbia area.
Doesn't do on less power than what your light bulb runs on. I was down on 20 major PSK one time and picked up a freighter just out of West Africa. And I tell people that story and they're like, you were only transmitting 10 watts? How in the world could you possibly do that? But anyway, give me about 7 minutes. I need to grab the boat anchor out of the back of the truck and drop it at the house, and I'll be mobile again. KJ4 CCT mobile.
And 0TR. Good to hear you, Wyatt. Go ahead, Jerry. I had a phone caller I had to answer.
Is that HR2510? You can find the service manual online. Look under cvtricks.com, and I call up, it's got the whole service manual, then some radio mods, alignment, diagrams, parts list, whole deal, I think.
I just got to it here. Now let's see if I can download it and print it off.
Such things as dried out capacitors and everything else means that thing hasn't been fired up, Jimmy.
I think it's two times. It probably needs to be recapped, more likely. And I remember that radio, and one of my buddies had one in his truck. He ran for back in the late, you know, I guess late 70s, early 80s, when the bands were still pretty hot. And easy. I mean, that was a good radio, too. It was a lot better than you'd think it would be.
It's, I believe this one was opened up. I bought it used. So it covered, you know, pretty wide area of bands. But it was a tremendous amount of fun to operate. And, you know, it just really clean radio, worked very well.
This is N0TR. Yeah, Jimmy, tube radios, it's really hard to get any parts and stuff anymore, I would imagine. But with the sunspots supposedly going to come back, I'm still waiting. They do have little spikes now and then here lately. But I've had some good contacts. Last night I talked to Kenya down in Africa and places like that, and some places out in the Indian Ocean recently from time to time, but it's very sporadic. But I do notice the Europeans this morning were posting a lot of 10-meter activity. I never did get much into it. It seemed a little bit, now I'm talking about 20, 30 years ago, they were awfully CB up there, and I had been a CBer for years, and then it started going bad and got out of it, so I just kind of avoided it. In fact, That was my last band that I ever got DXCC in, and you could have got it easily in one day during a contest back in the days when the sunspots were up over 150 or so. But everybody wanted a 10-10 number or something like that, and I just didn't go for it. There was, it just wasn't, I liked 20 meters was my favorite. And then I started doing a lot of CW, and all the bands were my favorite. But the only one I don't have DXCC in is 160, and I just don't know how in the world these guys ever get that one. And my Ford, she told me, she says, it's a lot of sleepless nights, Tom. Go ahead, Jerry.
And I'll be right back. You're going to put paper in the printer, KG4LSO.
10 meters was hot back in the day. I worked a lot on 10 with a vertical back in 79 and 80. But I got to jump out here, too. I just heard Lynn, he's got the garage door coming down. I better go down and see if she needs any help with anything. But I'll talk to you in a minute if I'm not being phased in 0TR and 4DJC for now.
Okay, Jerry, I'm going to bow out for a little while. Anyways, my legs are starting to get cramps in them here. I've been in the kitchen too long looking at the computer, so I better go downstairs for a bit and go out and check the chickens while it's not raining. Miss Zero TR, good day to you both, and hope you all have a nice day. And we're clear.
LSL, and I'm back again after putting paper in the printer.
He thought that the house was going to be a quick stop, but those things weigh like 50. Each of those radios weighs like 50 pounds.
Is it because of a transformer inside of it, or what?
It has the transformer inside of it that weighs, that's, you know, solid iron. And the other one weighs so much because it's got, you know, really, really large heat sinks on it. Which is weird because it only transmits, I think it's got a maximum of 15 watts for transmit.
How to do with the duty cycle then?
The heat sink one is designed for 75% duty cycle, although normally it receives much closer to, you know, basically what we do, around 50 to 30.
Right. Yeah, that's the best way to have something last a long time is to be able to keep it cool. You know, like the newer radios now, even this 2-meter radio's got a fan in the back of it and you know, helps keep it cool. The newer HF radios have got fans, so yeah, the plastic just heating up and cooling down breaks down real quick.
You know, they're mil-spec radios with no moving parts. So that's probably the reason for the massive heat sinks on them.
Yeah, I was just getting schematics and service manuals and everything that I can get a hold of for this 2510.
Official service manual that has schematics and the test point data, that goes a long way to being able to fix something.
I know just about enough of electronics to know that it's all has to do with the electrical current, the electrical voltage, the filtering, and all of that, but as far as working on it goes, well, I've never had anybody to teach me how, so, yeah, but I can imagine it's just like with a car. You got to know how it's wired and what wires go to where.
You have to understand the general concept of what the wires are all supposed to be doing. But, you know, the one thing I absolutely hate doing, which I'm probably going to have to do on the transmitter I got to work on, is doing circuit tracing. And that's just a pain in the rear, especially when it's going between through-hole mount, solid state, and then switching to surface mount, and then switching back. That's just irritating.
So you have to use a signal tracer, maybe a tone generator, multimeters, microscopes.
Light to be able to see through the board also helps.
Yeah, I had a friend in Atlanta that did a lot of electronics repair, and I would sit there and try and watch him, but he would never really work when I was over there, and I finally told him, I said, Dave, I'm kind of interested in what you're doing here, and he says, yeah, but if I teach you how to do it, then that means you don't pay me to do it anymore. I said, well, there that is.
No more. I mean, if you watch me work, I'll charge you $150.
Yeah. Yeah, I've watched YouTube videos and what have you, just trying to basically learn the functionality of everything and kind of some of the steps. But, you know, not having an oscilloscope or a signal tracer or tone generator or any of the other hundreds of different test equipment that I would need to do it successfully, I'm not going to put a screwdriver or anything into one of these radios that I don't know what's going on.
I'll tell you something. A good multimeter will help you at least figure out which section that it's gone wrong at. Flip 77, if you can lay your hands on one of those things, that's a good all-around. You can use it for everything, just about. And I'm also going to pre-warn you, I'm going around the edge of Glassy Mountain, and it's going to be blocking me here shortly. KJ4CTD Mobile.
No worries on the mountain, yeah. That's something that I'm having to get used to up here, is the mountains blocking all RF, a lot of cell phones and everything else. We camp up in Whittier, North Carolina, usually every year. And our campsite is shadowed, or the cell phone towers are shadowed from us. So we go out there and literally have no cell phone service until we get out of town. It's actually quite nice.
I'm up here almost Landrum, and we have Hogback Mountain, which is where Channel 7, well, I presume it's Channel, WSBA's antenna is. And then the next mountain over, more or less, is Glassy, and both of those will block this repeater.
Got you. Now. So I'll be here on the side printing out everything that I can print out on this radio, and I'll be listening. KG4LSL. Around here, KG4LSL.
Hey, Skex.
Hey, Jimmy.
How are you?
I'm just out here running my tool out.
Selling a bunch of tools?
Been staying pretty busy since the start of the year. Pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, because I remember when our economy did this in, what was it, about 08? I think it was when it collapsed. I was working for Cadillac, and I may have told you this story, but, I mean, we went from, on average, turning 200 hours a week to turning somewhere around 20 to 30 hours a day, sometimes every 2 days. I mean, our shop just died.
I owned my own auto repair shop at that time, and that hurt. You know, because it was... Well, where you did come in, you had to make sure you were going to get paid for it before you done it.
Gas was somewhere around almost $5 a gallon down in South Georgia. And in South Georgia, the economy's not the greatest in the world anyway. But you hit $5 a gallon with your gas. I mean, you know, I got let go. A few of our other techs got let go. And it was just bad, and I'm really hoping and praying that that it doesn't do that again.
Pat, I'm with you. I'm hoping that we don't end up like that, because that was tough.
You know. know, there's a lot of folks out here that got to feed their families. And, you know, some of these guys, they had accounts on Matco, Mac, and Snap-on. So they were having to pay weekly on all of those, but we weren't making any money. So, you know, that in turn turned the tool guys' business kind of hairy, and they weren't wanting to let go of any new tools until you had your accounts paid off. And it was a bad time in our recent history there. Well, Patrick, how's the weather going up there? Is it as gloomy as it is down here towards Anderson?
Usually right now, it's sprinkling rain on me and just a gloomy day. It started off nice this morning, but not no more.
So they're saying that it's going to be above average precipitation for the next 8 to 10 days from what I understand. So, our monsoon season has hit. The squirrels are active, the trees are budding out, and it's way too early.
And we're going to pay for it here before long with a big frost and kill all of it.
Burn up in the summer, which we'll probably do that anyway.
It's a very good possibility, but I'm not in control of that stuff, so I just got to take what comes.
The weather does what the Lord wants it to do, for sure. I was just, we were talking earlier about radios and transmitters, and there was some conversation about some grasses and preparing for the spring and everything else, and I was down, went up to the printer to grab a service manual and schematic for an HR2510 that I'm needing worked on, and I came back and everybody was gone.
Tell into you and Tom and Wyatt and Jerry talking there. I didn't know what y'all were talking about, but I heard everybody clearing out.
Yeah, what we were talking about is that HR2510. I love that radio, and I absolutely refuse to get rid of it. Even though it's not functional right now, it does power up. I do know that. You know, and I just said, well, these days I'll get it fixed. So now I'm working on getting it fixed.
Meter radio that you were talking about?
Yes, sir.
10 meters been opening up this week. I've got one in the truck, and I just kind of hang out on 28 from several other countries from over in Europe area, Germany and Sweden, France, a couple of those over there. So good time to get into it.
Are you on it right now? Because I'm kind of curious to see if I can actually work you on 28400.
Not
now.
Yeah, that's usually the calling frequency, so you might want to move off of there.
Up here and see what I can find. 405. It seems to be clear.
28405.
We're too close to work 10 meters ground wave.
I heard KB2HXS last week when I told him 10 meters was open. There was somebody on the calling frequency there, and I heard him, and I was just a couple miles away from him. So it just a matter of propagation.
I've got a friend of mine that lives up in Yoder, Kansas, and he's been getting into the 10-meter FM quite a bit, and said he's working, you know, Ireland and you know, a lot of Europe, and he's just got one of those MFJ Octopus antennas up about 20 feet with the ham sticks. So he's been having some good success with it. I think I'm going to start playing around with it a little bit.
Like I said, I listen throughout the day when I'm riding around and just seeing who is on and what time of day it is and just getting familiar with it, but I usually just listen right there on the calling frequency, and it's amazing what you can hear. And I'm just on a very compromised mobile Striker 955. I'm not running anything fancy. I took a 11-meter antenna and cut it down for 10 meters.
That's a good radio. I wish I would have gotten one of the old Rangers, the, what were they, the 2970s that they had back in the 90s that you could pick up for a couple of $100. Now you can't pick one up for under $7.
For HKX, actually, I think I've seen a couple of those on Marketplace for $300 or $400.
Okay, so, wow. Those were just phenomenal, clean radios, and they just sounded good, and they worked well, and they were pretty bulletproof back then.
Well, Jimmy, I'm going to have to run on you now. I'm at my next stop, so I just heard you throw your call out there and didn't want to leave you hanging with the other guys gone. Maybe they'll be back around here in a minute. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. You take care, Jimmy. 73.
All right, Patrick, 73s. Have a good day. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you later on. KO4HKX, KG4LSL, and I'll be listening.
With 2 Tango Mobile.
Now, WU2T, KG4LSL. Good afternoon, sir.
This is Rusty over here in Spartanburg area. At least I will be shortly. I'm just getting back home after having been gone for a while.
This is Jimmy, Juliet India, Mike Yankee down in Anderson. And, yeah, just sitting here working on the radios a little bit, spraying a few baits and contemplating on those and just kind of piddling right now, waiting on my wife to get home so we can go and shoot pool this evening.
Out of that, I just came through the interchange where 355 splits off of 26. So I'm still at the edge of things and stuff, but I got a lot of that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're at. My wife works up in Greenville, so I'm a little familiar with it. I've been there twice. beautiful place up in there. But yeah, we're just kind of hanging out and piddling around today, doing old man stuff, I guess.
Later, WU2T Mobile.
Be safe. KG4LSL.